Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, May the 8th, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 36, the third paragraph. Thus started one more journey to the asylum. And we're reading and discussing that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary F., 12 Traditions, Tenzin P., and readers of the text, Colleen M., Tamara C., and Jane S. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, May the 7th, the 7 a.m. meeting was 23440. That's 23440. And the 10 a.m. meeting, 23441. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Mary F. is going to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Lynn. Hi, everyone. This is Mary F., a very grateful compulsive overeater from Virginia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Mary F. And to read the 12 traditions, we've got Tenzin P. Welcome, Tenzin.
Good morning, Lynn and everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tenzin P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 36, the third paragraph. Thus started one more journey to the asylum, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Colleen M., would you like to read for us, please, this morning?
Good morning. Colleen M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. Thus started one more journey to the asylum for Jim. Here was the threat of commitment, the loss of family and position, to say nothing of the intense mental and physical suffering which drinking always caused him. He had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic, yet all reasons for not drinking were easily pushed aside in favor of the foolish idea that he could take whiskey if only he mixed it with milk. And, well, so here's Jim again. We're still talking about this new person, new to the scene. They met him a few paragraphs back, and it said, you know, they told him about what he had, you know, his problem. His problem was he has a disease. This alcoholism is allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. So I kind of wanted to focus on the italic part of the text, which we're always told, you know, we should pay attention to because it costs more to have everything put in italics back then. So self-knowledge, you know, he had a little bit of knowledge. And I guess what came to me was I had a little bit of knowledge, too, for many years, but it didn't stop me from eating. I had to have, you know, so the book knowledge is great. I can know I have a disease, but I had to have the experimental experiences of failed attempts over and over and over again before I was able to have this idea smashed into my head, which is what they talk about further in the text. You know, that we will absolutely be unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. This is on page 39. and they want to have this. This has to be smashed into our heads as alcoholics. So it took a lot of failures for me to finally get to a point where I was willing to accept that there was only one solution for me, and that I had to do everything that this program recommended. I had to, one, put the food down, and then, two, I had to work the steps. And earlier it talked about him not expanding on his spiritual condition. You know, that was a long journey for me to come back to. And I've also tried using the church for my overeating, and that did not work either. So something is magical about having a connection with a higher power and working these steps in complete abstinence, and then continuing to pass it on to others. So I know we've kind of talked a lot about Jim, but I wanted to focus on, like I said, the self-knowledge is not enough. We have to put the food down. For me, I had to put the food down, and I had to work the steps, and I had to change. And he has not gotten to that point where he's had much change. He has knowledge, but nothing else. So I guess that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Colleen M., thank you so much for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please, say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Tony B.
Julie G.
Jane F.
Harlan G.
Okay, can we stop just for a second, please, because I missed a bunch of people here. I heard Tony B., Julie B., and Harlan G. Who did I miss, please?
Jane F.
Jane F.
Roz G.
Gotcha, Roz. Thank you.
Deb V.
Is that Deb V?
Deb Z, like zebra.
Good. Okay. So I've got Tony B., Jane F., Julie B., Harlan G., Roz G., and Deb Z, or Z. Okay. There's our list. Let's go with that lineup this morning. Thank you. Tony B., would you like to start us off, please? Press star one, please, Tony. Okay, Tony's having a little bit of trouble there getting in. Jane S., how about you? Would you like to start us off?
Sorry, Lynn. Can you hear me now?
Oh, I was got to know. Okay, Tony.
Sorry.
Please go ahead, Tony. No.
Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, everybody. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland, and so grateful to be here on this meeting. I don't want to go back to the asylum. And that's what it's like when I eat. And so I come on here, I share with you all, I listen to you all, I learn. And I'm so, so grateful. This is indeed a wonderful meeting, going slowly like this through, making sure that, well, it gets reinforced in my mind and that I can carry it to others, because it's been reinforced in that way in my mind. And yeah, it sends me mad being back in the food, and I don't want to be there. So what do I have to remember? That it will always happen that I go back to the food. You know, I'm a compulsive overeater. I may call myself a recovered compulsive overeater, but I am a compulsive overeater. And, you know, I must remember that I will always go back to the food again. No matter how much I know, you know, no matter how much I've studied and how much I know, unless I do this program, and it's a 12-step program, and it goes from 1 to 12, and all of them are so important, and many of them are wrapped up in each other as we do them, you know, but everyone is important, and especially carrying the message. And I've experienced sponsees knowing this and saying, yes, 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 you know, that makes total sense to me when we read this together. And it was me for many years, you know, yes, this makes sense, okay, great, know it, fine. And then I pick up again, because I think for me it was because I didn't work intensively with other compulsive overeaters, and does tell me that that's how I expand my spiritual life, and that's what Jim didn't do. But you know, I need to stay well to carry the message, so I need to be working all of the other steps. That's all I have this morning. Thanks for listening, Lynn. Look forward to hearing everyone's shares. God bless you all.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. Okay, Jay, now you're up, followed by Julie B. And where are you calling from, please? That's Jane S.
Jane S. from New Hampshire. Thank you very much for your service this morning, Lynn. I'm so grateful to be here, and I am living in a recovered state of mind today, free from compulsive overeating and food obsession and so many other obsessions. And gosh, this what a great bunch of italics here. You know, I remember the mental and the physical suffering when I drank and when I ate. And you know, I had that much knowledge. I had so much knowledge. I thought I knew it all. I really did. I knew how to eat healthy. I knew what not to eat. And I knew that I shouldn't be doing this, this, and this, but I couldn't stop. And, you know, it's that mental twist and that mental blank spot and that built-in forgetter. And yet I really didn't forget. I just didn't care. And so fast forward to just about 2 years ago when I came back in program, I came back to Vision, I was at another emotional bottom in my life. My outside of my world looked beautiful, but inside I was a mess. I was irritable, restless, discontent, and it was because I was back in the food. And I got a sponsor, and we started working together very quickly, and she said, well, you didn't recoil. And I said, you know, that recoil from the milk in or the whiskey in my milk, or I said, I don't care. I didn't care. I called the old efforts, you know, and she said, that's not your forgetting. She said, that's the spiritual malady. It's the disease. I was disconnected from God or my higher power. And I said to her, and I not argued it, but I was very defensive. I said, no, I have a great spiritual practice, and I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this. But you know what? I did not enlarge it. And I had done the steps, but I had not done the steps completely. And I was not working with another woman in this program. And so I went through the steps, and I made my amends completely, and I got through the steps completely. And then God just has showered me with miracles, this transformation, because the solution is my relationship with my higher power today, who I can call God. And that's where the gift comes in. Because today I come from a recovered state of mind. Today I woke up with peace and serenity in my heart and a freedom to just go about my day and live a life. And, you know, I wrote down a few things that I want to do today. One of them is outreach. One of them is to be of service on a meeting. One of them is to share on a meeting, you know, and then I can go about my life. And my life is very busy today. We're moving. We're moving and downsizing from two homes to one home, which is a beautiful thing to do, but it's a very difficult thing to do. So I spent a lot of time with God this morning asking for direction, wisdom. I know that he has me protected and cared for. And if I continue to enlarge and expand on that relationship with God, I will be safe and protected and continue to work with another person in this program, which I do on a daily basis to the best of my ability. So thanks for everybody's shares. I love this meeting. I love this family, and I will pass it back.
Thank you, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Julie B., it's your turn, followed by Harlan G. Good morning, Julie.
Oh, good morning to you as well. Thank you so much. I'm Julie B. I live in Ohio, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, always recovering. I just love this meeting so much. You guys have just been there for me in every single way. So good morning to you. You know, when I think about Jim And I have to make every paragraph, you know, I have to make it make sense for me and my program and what I've been through. And the asylum looked like waking up in so much regret, like every morning, just laying in bed or getting up and then just having the flood of what I did the night before just wash over me. And usually that ended in a binge or overeating on my couch or out with friends or by myself. And it was usually followed by a period of trying to do better, you know, being on a workout program, being on a food plan without the program, highly not recommended, undereating, overeating. Then I would go into the asylum even more and then try to control that. You know, I'm going to exercise for 2 hours. I'm going to do a cleanse. There are 50 diets. I did 49 of them. And the only one that has brought me the body I've like never thought I could get that I always wanted has been OA. Like the reason that I came to OA has been accomplished. Now it's keeping it. It's maintaining the spiritual fitness. It's going deeper into my recovery. I love what I heard. I've heard this on, well-known speakers. They talked about like how I am a distinct entity. I have literally different foods in my body react differently. Literally, like there might be something missing in my body, an enzyme or something. And when it was explained this way to me, the same way that someone has an allergy to another type of food, their body just doesn't break it down the same way. So when I think of my disease as factual, and if I put this substance into my body, I'm going to have a abnormal reaction. That is what I hold on to. But the steps for me are what keep me from putting that food into my body. Why would I want to put a food that is harmful to me into my body? And the steps, my connection with God, the steps, the way that they get me to God, are what keep me from killing myself that way. And just love this program. I am very grateful. I'm Julie B. I'm from Ohio, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. from Ohio. Harlan G. from Scottsdale, Arizona. It's your turn.
Thanks,
please,
Lynn.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Lynn, for your service. I appreciate that. Please don't be gentle with your reminder. I'm not home. I'm outside. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and as Lynn said, I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. On page 28 in Roman numerals in the doctor's opinion, Dr. Silkworth says to us, that the sensation, this effect, we eat for this effect, this sense of ease and comfort, this sensation is so elusive that while they admit it's injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. Does that mean I think today is December? No. It means I understand little or nothing that's going to help me, because self-knowledge avails me nothing. I want to feel the way I feel when I'm eating cookies. And I walk into the convenience store, and I'm waddling. I can barely get in and out of a car. I'm wearing clothes that are 4 or 5 extra large that don't even fit. They're too small. My clothes have cigarette burns, food stains, you name it, stains on them. I smell like a park district bathroom because my lack of hygiene. And I walk in and I buy Oreo cookies and I buy God knows what, and I eat it, cursing myself with tears running down my cheeks, running down my face, because I don't want to be doing this. This is a form of insanity. And on page 42 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's going to tell me about the mental blank spot, the built-in forgetter, that I cannot with sufficient force bring to consciousness the devastation of my life because I ate that food. Jim starts one more journey to the asylum, not the hospital, not the treatment center, not the hotel, the asylum, the draconian, punishing, punitive asylum. What happened to men in there is the material of nightmares. What happened to women in there is exponentially more devastating and more horrible. The mental and physical suffering which drinking always caused him. The key word here is always, not sometimes, not most of the time, not occasionally, which drinking always caused him. Drinking always caused me a nightmarish result. His self-knowledge availed us nothing. His self-knowledge availed him nothing. The foolish idea that he could take whiskey if only he mixed it with milk. The foolish idea that even though I'm emasculated by this disease, even though I have no life, even though I have no pants that fits, I'm eating cookies? Am I crazy? Yes. Thanks, Lynn, for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Harlan G. from Scottsdale, Arizona. Good morning, Roz. It's your turn, followed by Deb Z.
Well, good morning, Lynn, and good morning, everybody. I'm Roz G., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And whenever I see this paragraph, I always think of how I would eat a salad with macaroni and cheese or a salad with, you know, you fill in the blank. I would just mix a salad with whatever I wanted, and I reasoned that because I'm eating this vegetable, it's going to cancel out everything else that I'm putting in my mouth. And I would step on the scale and it would go up or it would stay the same. Or I would wake up in the middle of the night with heartburn or choking and feeling like crap every time. It never changed. You know, it's like this time it will be different. No, it's not different. You know, I'm not a scientist, but I think there are some physical, you know, there's some laws not laws of attraction. That's medicine. There's some other one. Laws of physics, laws of gravity. When I step on the earth, when I step on this planet, I've never been an astronaut and gotten to experience zero gravity, but I will stick to the ground. If I jump up high, I'm going to come right back down because of the laws of gravity. And with the laws of biology, when I eat more than caloric intake than my body needs, I'm going to gain weight. But that's not, you know, the caloric thing and gaining weight is different from being a spiritually sick compulsive overeater. That law that I've learned from the big book is that I'm never going to grow new legs. I've lost the ones that I've had. I'm not going to grow new ones. And so far, for me, nothing has changed about my condition according to this big book. So if I mix salad with macaroni and cheese, I'm going to have the same result every time. What's different today is that I have a relationship with God and a relationship with power that I need to meet with every day. And abstinent living means I have to feel my feelings and deal with them. So, you know, I have foolish ideas sometimes, and I get angry and I have all kinds of feelings. But thank God that I have the 10th step and that I have God. So I don't want to go back to any kind of asylum like a pay and way. I don't want to go there. I just would rather stay here, do what the big book tells me to do, and work with other people and have close to a blissful life with that I pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Roz. Roz G. from Palmdale, California. Deb ZZ, you're up. And please tell us where you're calling from.
I'm Deb Z from Illinois. And did you call me Deb Zeb?
I do. I'm Canadian, and I can't help it.
My stepdaughter calls me Deborah Zebra, so that was kind of cute. So, thanks for your service. Thank you, everyone who calls in to Vision every day and reminds me that, you know, how much I'm like Jim and Bill and, you know, all the other guys in this book. you know, for me, a trip to the asylum looked like all those times that I tried yet another diet or, you know, just tried to control my eating. And then, you know, the food would be all of a sudden suddenly in front of me. And I would be sitting there reasoning why it was okay to go ahead and, you know, take that extra food that was left over at the from the office event and instead of eating my planned lunch. And, you know, that was years, for years, every day. And that's insanity. And, you know, on the flip side, I was still trying to control it. Just like, you know, going into an asylum would be just another human way of trying to cure somebody of alcoholism. You know, I was just generally or just constantly trying to control it myself. And I've been in program for a long time, but I just didn't get the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. I just didn't see how it really manifested itself in my life. I didn't see that whole process of trying to figure out how I could eat that food that wasn't on my food plan, that was my attempt to, that was my obsession of my mind. I didn't connect that until in January I got a new sponsor and she told me, you know, get back in the big book. We're going to use the big book for my sponsoring and you're going to go to Vision for You. And it literally has changed my entire outlook on life. And the biggest thing that I didn't get was that I needed to seek God all the time, all the time. And I'm never going to be able to do it 24/7 every moment of the day. But I can certainly do it a lot more than I was. And, you know, just working on turning everything over and
time, please.
Letting go of that control. Thanks.
Thank you, Deb Z from Illinois. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we're continuing our study of the big book and the chapter more about alcoholism. And this morning we are on page 36, the last paragraph, that started one more journey. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa H.
Janice H.
Honey, yes.
Okay, if we could stop just for a second, because I heard Hannah Yetta and somebody H. Who was somebody H?
Janice
Darlene H.
Okay, so we've got Janice H. and Darlene H. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Elizabeth B.
Elizabeth
Lisa
B.
M. Lisa
and
M.
Lisa M.
Peggy
okay.
W.
Peggy W. Okay, I've got Janice H., Darlene H., Hannah Yetta R., Elizabeth B., Lisa M., and Peggy W. Did I miss anybody? Nope. Okay, Janice H., good morning. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, moderator, for the meeting. This is Janice H., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from California this morning. And what strikes me about this passage is, you know, I think what got this Jim into his situation, you know, was that he had a resentment that he wasn't really aware of. And it came up in my step work yesterday that I also had was harboring a resentment that I wasn't even really conscious of, you know, and it was putting me into like a restless, irritable, and discontented type of a way of existing. And, you know, I was able to take direction on that and apply the program. And I'm feeling a little bit more lighthearted today than I was, but it's just so insidious to me how this stuff like creeps in, even when I'm, you know, doing my gratitudes and praying and all of these things, it can still crop up. And I didn't even realize it until my sponsor pointed it out as I was going through some of the work that I have been doing. So I guess I'm just saying it's just very important to, you know, be constantly in contact with others and sharing, like, my innermost self with them, because my own thoughts deceive me, you know, and that's the nature of my disease today. Like, I just want everything to be fine. I want to be happy, pretend to be happy, even when I'm really not at ease with something that's going on. I need to acknowledge that and express it and try my best to turn it over before it gets to where it took this person in the story. So that's what I have today. Thank you for listening, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice H. from California. Darlene H., it's your turn, followed by Henrietta. Good morning, Darlene.
Hi, good morning. This is Darlene H. from Virginia. Thank you so much for your service. I am grateful to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. Our friend Jim. even though Jim had much knowledge about himself, much like I did, the one thing that strikes me in the story is I can have the knowledge all day. For years, I would openly say, you know, I'm a food addict. But the thing that was missing for me was acceptance of the fact that I was a food addict. So Jim had much knowledge about himself. His friends had given him a lot of information about the disease of alcoholism, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. Usually when I fail to continue to do some work is because I don't believe in it, or I haven't accepted it at a level that makes it urgent for me to want to continue. So in another 12-step program, they talk about the three A's, awareness, acceptance, and action. I may have the knowledge, but until I accept it in my heart and soul, into my innermost self, that I, you know, have no control over some of the food that I put into my mouth and my life is unmanageable, then I have no urgency to do anything. But once I do, once I get that at my gut level, that I'm willing to take action all day. And that action, you know, is not just putting down the food. It is working these steps, working on, you know, which, if I follow them, will take me to a relationship with a power greater than myself. Well, it's not enough for me to just say that I have a power greater than me that I believe in. That's my work. That's my constant work, is enlarging upon that, believing in it, feeding that relationship, which then keeps me away from the food. I had some chatter going on this week. And when I really sat down and took a look at what was eating at me, you know, and I was able to sit down and do some 10 steps and pray and turn it over, it all went away, you know, because I got rid of the blockage that was between myself and my God. That's how I continue to expand my spiritual life. And life is so much better when I'm doing that. So I love Jim. I learned a lot from Jim. I am Jim in hopefully a former life, but can be Jim today, tomorrow, or next week. So I'm grateful for the example. Thanks for letting me share. Have a good day.
Thank you, Darlene H. from Virginia. Hanayeta, it's your turn, followed by Elizabeth D. Welcome, Hanayeta.
Thank you, Lynn. Welcome to you, too. Thank you so much for your service. This is Hanayeta R. from Plano, Texas. Plano is the city I live in. It's not Plano, Texas. It's Plano, Texas, where I live. And I spell my name C-H-A-N-A-Y-E-T-T-A, Hanayeta. And I want to welcome all the newcomers first and use some of my time for that. But I just think you're the most important people here. And please give us your name, new people, people coming back after relapse, long relapse. Just please, so we can reach out to you. Anyway, now, this paragraph so screams to me that, the journey to the asylums, well, thank God I didn't have to go to asylums. They were rehabs. But it says here was the threat. And if you jump down and say, here was the threat of that intense mental and physical suffering. Oh, the compulsive overeating always brought. And it was. I mean, I would sit and eat things, and I would just scream out, God, I don't want to be eating this, shoving it in my mouth. I don't want to eat this, shoving more in my mouth. Why am I still eating this, shoving more in my mouth? And what a mental and physical, I mean, the physical pain was terrible. My stomach, my this, gaining weight, all of that. And the mental, though, it was like I was obsessed by this food. I feel like I was obsessed by this food. And I couldn't get it to stop. I couldn't get it to stop. And at least twice that I remember, I did go into a psych ward on the hospital, and one time I did go to a treatment center for 6 weeks. At that point, I had already been in all of them is after recovery, and I would I also went before recovery, but that's anyway. And one time when I was in treatment, I was a big book thumper at that time. And I'd lost 100 pounds, and I didn't look like a compulsive overeater, but I was still a compulsive overeater, you know. And I went in, and we were doing this thing, and I also know stuff in the 12 and 12, and she was looking through the 12 and 12 trying to find the St. Francis prayer, and I said, oh, that's on page 99, and she goes, if you know so much, why in the hell are you here? And I was like, oh my gosh. Well, I closed my mouth and, you know, unplugged my ears, like they say in AA. Take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth.
Time, please.
Okay, be quiet for a while. And I had to do that. But thank God I'm here today telling you about this, and I'm abstinent and happy. Thank you again, Lynn, for your service. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle, guys. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thank you so much. And everybody have a blessed day and a good shot of. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. from Plano, Texas. Elizabeth B., good morning, followed by Elizabeth M. Sorry, Lisa M.
Elizabeth D. here, a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in the Boston area. At the moment, I'm in Utah on a hiking vacation and so grateful that I could call into the meeting, and here you all are. This brings back a very strong memory for me. During a period of years, I was relapsing over and over again. I'd get some time in, and then I'd relapse, and this happens several times over the course of a number of years. And the gateway back for me during those years was almost always coffee. And for so many of us, coffee is safe and it's no problem. But for me, it isn't. It always starts out as black coffee. I'm just going to have a black coffee because I'm tired. And then within a matter of days, I am adding all kinds of things that are not on my food plans, all kinds of sugar products and so forth. And it becomes an obsession. And this story about Jim is so powerful because I remember, you know, after the third or fourth time this happened, vaguely, as it says in the earlier paragraph, I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart, but I felt reassured, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I remember having the thought, you know, I really shouldn't do this, you know, because coffee's been my gateway, and I would, no, but it'll be different this time. I'm just going to drink coffee over the weekend just to get me over the edge, and then Monday I'll start, you know, going, et cetera. And this would start another relapse, and I would gain weight, and it would start over and over again. And it was just a horrible thing for me that I could not stop from starting again. And I couldn't understand. And what I finally came to understand was that it doesn't matter how much I knew about my own habits, my own power was insufficient to keep me from going back to my trigger foods, ingredients, and behaviors. And this paragraph shows me that. I had this foolish idea that it could be different this time if I only did X, Y, Z. Oh, you know, it's just so powerful for me to read. This is like coming home for me. I've had this amazing week of hiking in Utah with my husband and dear friends. And, you know, even with the beauty and power and love and how much love I have in my life, it doesn't matter. I'm maintaining 120-pound weight loss, and I'm doing things in the natural world and seeing things in the natural world I never imagined, and having the
time, please.
I never imagined someone could have. Thank you, and I'll end with this. This program has brought me to the place where I can experience all that, but in order to keep it, I must remember that God is
good morning,
and I appreciate
beautiful dogs.
And I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth G. Lisa M., good morning. It's your turn, followed by Peggy W.
Good morning. My name is Lisa M. from Virginia, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. Thanks, everyone, for your service here at the meeting. And what caught my attention in this paragraph was much knowledge about self. And for me, it wasn't really knowledge about self. I was trying to gain knowledge about how to eat and how to work out, so, or how to exercise. I got a personal training certification with countless hours of nutrition classes, all in an effort to try to help myself. But I didn't really know what I was. I didn't know who I was or what I was. I didn't know that I was a real compulsive overeater. So I was trying to gain, I guess, secular knowledge in order to address a spiritual problem, and it never worked. And I could help other people. I could give them nutrition plans that they could follow. I could give them exercise routines that they can follow, and it worked. And just could never figure out how it didn't work for me when I had all the knowledge, all the information, because I didn't really know who I was. I didn't know. And so those secular solutions, I would say, could not help me with my spiritual malady. I needed a psychic transformation. I needed a spiritual experience as the result of working the steps. And then I could maybe apply some of that information or knowledge that I had, but I couldn't until I had that spiritual experience that I so desperately needed, and that worked for me. So that's all I have. Thanks for allowing me to share this morning.
Thank you very much. Now I got myself lost. I think that was Isn't that awful? Elizabeth G. No, that was Lisa M. Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, Lisa, thank you so much. Okay, I know for sure Peggy W. is coming up next. That I do know. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. God, this is such a great read. I've been working on the fourth step, and oh God, all the shame and all the resentments coming up, and I've been praying every day for. Wow, let me just say I have a list of resentments. I guess when you're 58 years old, and you hold on to shit like I do. Wow, I just can't. I can't believe how much I remember and how much it still pisses me off. And then you pray for it for like 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, the anger is gone. The resentments are really, really gone. I was so close to my husband's mother. I mean, she was. I don't know, such a great lady, and was a great mother-in-law, and was a great mom, and a great grandma, and I always wanted to be like them, his parents. My parents sucked, and so I didn't have much to go on, but his parents were just all that and a bag of chips. And so I've always had them kind of on a pedestal, and over the years, you know, when you're with somebody for 35 years, things get said, or you hear things differently maybe than even how they meant to say them. My resentment towards Kathy is totally gone. And we're back to ourselves. And that's because she never knew I had the resentments. And I, like I said, I just hung on to them. And this step four, these steps are just flipping amazing. Like, it does take the food thoughts away when you're actually working within yourself. I'm just so, so grateful. I am so grateful to be here, to be praying for people that I never thought I would pray for, and actually really want those things for these people. Is so, I didn't think that would ever happen. I have to chuckle because you guys say things are going to happen, these miracles, and you're like, oh my God, what's happening? I'm just so ecstatic today. But anyways, with that, I will pass, and I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy W. We have 3 minutes left. Who would like that time, please?
Moraine S.
Jennifer G. Okay, I heard somebody, Moraine S., I believe.
Yes, Moraine S.
Yep, please go ahead.
Thank you all, everybody here, for your service today. So grateful for this meeting. When I was reading about Jim a few weeks ago, I'm very new here, second week, November. I've had enough time to get through the steps, relapse, and get back on the bandwagon. But one of the things that I noticed about this whole, like, self-awareness, as we see, like, with Jim here, you know, in this program, you know, I came in, like, with that step one, right, admitting that, you know, I'm powerless over food, and it's crazy. My life is crazy. But I think one of the biggest things I'm learning in this program is, like, you know, I'm a deeply loved compulsive overeater. And that this, you know, wanting to get rid of my compulsive overeating, you know, but really and truly, like, that's going to go away. And I do have to say I have been abstinent now almost a month now again. But this is about my relationship with God. And if I say in step one, I admit I'm powerless, like, I have to believe that my God is in total control. Like, I can't live double-minded, you know, pick up 1 minute and put down the next minute. And I can't be too proud, like, where I don't reach out for help and my peers here. I think the most powerful thing I'm learning, as I even see with Jim, is like, you know, even my self-awareness, like, that's not enough. Like, it's going to get me so far, you know. And this sort of, the book used the language of mystified, you know, goes back into the saloon or whatever. And it's that same little ghost that would overtake me, right, when that compulsion just ramps up really high. But, you know, I think one of the most powerful things I've learned, as I see with consistency for those that's recovered, is just being totally honest with no secrets about what I'm thinking, the food noise, you know, and these resentments. And, you know, the number one thing I've been working on is my defensiveness, my pettiness. I still gossip, like, you know, all these things that they can seem like mysterious at first, but like, I've got to deal. Like, thank you, everybody. And I just believe that life changes and it happens when I'm just alone with God sometimes, you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Yes. And where are you calling from, please?
Miami.
Miami, Florida. Great. All right. Thank you, everybody who shared, and thank you to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, May the 8th, 2026, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23443. That's 23443. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tamara C., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I would love to. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be recovered in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.